Right now on VFN TV, we're going to go to the United Nations and hear the continuation of the speech by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The sanctions are happening. You're looking at economies beginning to shake and quake there. And the people of Iran are about to be free. And Israel's about to be safe from this nuclear catastrophe. Right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster. Of course, joining me is John Ramos.
Hello.
What's happening, man?
Man, I'm doing good. I'm excited about what's happening in the world.
I am so encouraged always when Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu speaks.
Always.
You know.
And truth.
Thanks you to everyone that's actually praying for the peace and protection of Israel and Jerusalem. Yeah. I'm excited about the United States Embassy moving from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and our President Donald Trump declaring that Jerusalem is the eternal capital of Israel.
And Nikki Haley as the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations.
Yes.
My goodness, what a voice. Strong person and doing a fabulous job.
She was governor for South or North Carolina?
South Carolina.
Thank you, South Carolina, for that. We appreciate that contribution to
the
world.
They're producing some hits here recently, I'll tell you.
Without a doubt. You know, when I think about this, I think, you know, we're moving into those prophetic days. We're seeing these great fulfillments. And I really believe an end-time harvest is about to take place across the earth, and it's time to get ready and prepare for it. We'll talk more about that in a future program, but we're going to continue on. This is the 73rd annual gathering of the United Nations, where the nations come together and they speak to the nations, and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is going to continue his speech. He talked previously on our program about, you know, revealing the nuclear warehouses and all the data and stuff that's there in Iran. They said that wasn't there. Well, they found it, and you can even Google it. Go back and check our last program. But also, look at this. Now you're looking at the economy. The sanctions have been put back on them again since President Trump's been president, and it's starting to work, and the people of Iran are about to be free, and the oppression in the Middle East is about to stop from Iran. I'm excited about what's going to take place.
Yeah, some of those
Iran
sanctions were was that cheap oil that Iran was releasing, and that has stopped now.
Right.
It could be the reason why we're paying a little bit more for our gas, but I don't mind if that means that
freedom
Iran is being sanctioned.
No doubt. So let's join Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the United Nations as he's speaking specifically about how the sanctions the world is putting on Iran is taking effect, and the people of Iran are about to be free from this oppressive government. Check it out.
Just as the nuclear deal supporters were wrong about what would happen when sanctions would be removed, they were wrong, dead wrong, about what would happen when sanctions would be restored. They argued that U.S. sanctions alone would have little impact, little economic impact on Iran. That's what they said. Really? Well, let's see what happened to Iran's economy now that President Trump has forced companies to choose between doing business with Iran and doing business with the United States, whose GDP is 50 times the size of Iran's GDP. A year ago, Iran's economy was booming. Now, it's collapsing. Iran's currency is plummeting. Inflation and unemployment are soaring. British airlines, German banks, French oil companies, Japanese oil importers, and many others are scrambling to get out. If that's little economic impact, imagine what will happen with the next batch of U.S. sanctions imposed in November. The deal's supporters were also wrong when they argued, you have to believe that they argued this. I mean, I had many arguments with them. They also argued that restoring sanctions would rally the Iranian people around the regime. Well, they're definitely rallying, but not around the regime. They're rallying against the regime. They're not chanting death to America. They're chanting death to the dictator. They're not chanting export the Islamic Revolution. They're chanting leave Syria, leave Lebanon, leave Gaza, take care of us in Iran. I listen to these protests. I talk to the Iranian people. I issue these videos. And I get so many responses from Iranians. At first, I thought these are Iranian exiles in the safety of London or Paris or Los Angeles. No, Iranians from Iran embracing Israel, criticizing their regime. That's an understatement. With their names. And I asked my intelligence people, what's going on? And shortly after, the protest broke out, not because of what I said, but it was an indicator of something extraordinary that was taking place there. Because in these protests, the Iranian people are showing unbelievable courage. From the urban centers to the outlying villages, and it's embracing now the whole of Iran, from the striking bazaar merchants to the young women uncovering their hair. The people of Iran are bravely standing up to a regime that has brutally repressed them for four decades and that has squandered their money, still squanders their money, in bloody wars across the Middle East. So here's what I say to Europe's leaders and to others. Instead of coddling Iran's dictators, join the US and Israel and most of the Arab world in supporting new sanctions against a regime that endangers all of us and all of the world. Israel is deeply grateful to President Trump for his bold decision to withdraw from the disastrous nuclear deal with Iran. Many, many of our Arab neighbors are also grateful. And everyone who cares about the peace and security of the world should also be grateful. But, ladies and gentlemen, I have an important confession to make. This may surprise you, but I have to admit that the Iran deal has had one positive consequence, an unintended one, but a positive consequence. By empowering Iran, it brought Israel and many Arab states closer together than ever before. Closer together than ever before in an intimacy and friendship that I've not seen in my lifetime and would have been unimaginable a few years ago. And you know, when you form friendships around a threat, around a challenge, you quickly see opportunities, not only for security, but how to bring a better life for our people, which Israel can help and wants to help do. Israel deeply values these new friendships. And I hope the day will soon arrive when Israel will be able to expand peace, a formal peace, beyond Egypt and Jordan to other Arab neighbors, including the Palestinians. I look forward to working with President Trump and his peace team to achieve that goal. I also want to use this opportunity, we're here at the UN, a place I know because I served here as ambassador many years ago, for many years. So I know something about the UN. So I want to use this opportunity to express Israel's appreciation to President Trump and Ambassador Haley for the unwavering support they've provided Israel at the United Nations. They have unequivocally backed Israel's right to defend itself. They rightly pulled out of a history-denying UNESCO and a morally bankrupt UN Human Rights Council. They have more resolutions about Israel than the rest of the world combined, I think. And tenfold compared to, I don't know, Iran, Syria, you name it. Not even tenfold, because you can't multiply zero by any number.
You can't multiply zero by any number. I mean, it's amazing the truth that's being revealed.
Yeah.
This is so important. This was actually happening prior to the previous president, former President Obama, lifting all those sanctions. The people of Iran are about to be free. And it just the whole foreign policy
The Arab Spring was happening too. Don't forget about that.
Yeah, and Iran actually rose up. The people, the Green Party rose up. They wrote a letter to former President Barack Obama, and reports are it just sat there on his desk when they were crying for help. And they were getting oppressed by their, I mean, it was amazing. They just chose, the previous administration chose Iran to be their friend.
Picked winners and picked losers, because they picked Egypt and they went in there and that didn't turn out good at all. 1 year later, the whole country, you know.
We got to go to the break, because we're going to cover the rest of the speech. But I remember that Valerie Jarrett, his number one assistant, was born
in Iran.
A friend of Iran. Listen. That's over with. Thank God. We're going to continue to hear this encouraging, informative speech about the reality of what's taking place in Iran from Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu after this break. Join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
Throughout the 19th century and early 20th century, newspapers regularly printed sermons, even citing the Bible in political commentary.
Lincoln Mullen, a historian at Virginia's George Mason University, has developed America's Public Bible, biblical quotations in U.S. newspapers, using a computer program that finds and tracks biblical quotations in pages of old newspapers.
In 1876, the verse in 1 Samuel 3:4 that says, "The Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here I am,' kept turning up in newspapers. Mullen discovered that Samuel Tilden was running for president that year and using 'The Lord called Samuel' as part of his campaign slogan."
Mullen has uncovered 866,000 biblical quotations in nearly 11 million newspaper pages in the Library of Congress's Chronicling America collection alone.
Engage with the Bible in new ways.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture.
just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We are at the United Nations with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu here in this 73rd annual speech, and it's just nailing the reality of what's going on. But John, can you imagine that somebody says, well, listen, we want to speak our native language mm-hmm. of our country, for us it would be English, and then somebody says, well, that's actually racist to say you want to speak English. And that's why I say what's happening in Israel. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is about to tell us specifically that because they wanted to speak Hebrew, that's their language.
Their national language.
They're accusing them of being racist. It's like everything that they do.
You haven't figured this out already, everybody has an opinion about what Israel can and can't do, should or shouldn't do, and it's horrible. They're their own country, they're a sovereign nation. They should be allowed to do whatever they want to do.
Not only that, it's the apple of God's eye, and it's what you're saying. So why does everybody focus on this particular nation instead of other nations that need help? It's the fact that it's the epicenter of where God has made his attention shown, and he says that, you know, it's my people, it's the land that I've chosen, it's where my son's going to come back, and his feet are going to be on the Mount of Olives. Mount of Olives is going to split, he's going to walk through the eastern gate. And so what you're looking at is every dark thing that could possibly come in is going to try to come in, is continually try to come in against Israel, come against the land, and all the nations, listen to this, all the nations of the world, all the people will be judged in the Valley of Jehoshaphat based on what they did with the land of Israel. Yeah. So this is very relevant. You're seeing people actually present their future judgments of what's going to happen to them.
And these countries make these large boasts, but they're so small. Iran has the GDP equivalent to the state of Pennsylvania.
Right. Which, and so, by the way, Pennsylvania, for those that are outside the country, is one state.
One state of the 50 states of the United States.
Right.
And these tariffs work. Look what happened in North Korea. Many say that the whole reason Kim Jong-un was ready to sit down was because his country was starving. I mean, it's really crippling to them. So Netanyahu's saying this is what's happening now. Imagine what's going to be unleashed in the month of November.
Well, sanctions work because God proves it. When we turn away from him, all of a sudden,
we get sanctioned by God. It's called judgment, right?
Yeah, well, judgment, or you start having, drying up your...
It stops raining.
Listen, we're going to go right back. This is the United Nations 73rd annual meeting. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, the leader of Israel, speaking to the world about the reality of what's taking place. And he's saying, listen, we're just speaking our native language. And he's confronting it. Check it out.
They stopped funding President Trump and Ambassador Haley. They stopped funding an unreformed UNRWA, an organization that, instead of solving the Palestinian refugee problem, perpetuates it. Day after day, the Trump administration has stood up to what has long been a specialty here at the UN, slandering Israel. Even though the shameful resolution comparing Zionism to racism was repealed 25 years ago, I'm sorry to say that its foul stench still clings to these halls. Israel airlifted Ethiopian Jews to freedom and a new life in Israel, in the Jewish state. Yet here at the UN, Israel is absurdly accused of racism. Israel's Arab citizens vote in our elections, serve in our parliament, preside over our courts, and have exactly the same individual rights as all other Israeli citizens. Yet here at the UN, Israel is shamefully accused of apartheid. Today, there are at least 5 times as many Palestinians as there were in 1948, the year of Israel's founding. Yet here at the UN, Israel is outrageously accused of ethnic cleansing. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what this is? It's the same old anti-Semitism with a brand new face. That's all it is. Once it was the Jewish people that were slandered and held to a different standard. Today, it's the Jewish state that is slandered and held to a different standard. Here's an example. Take the outlandish attacks that have been leveled against Israel after our Knesset, our parliament, recently adopted a law declaring Israel the nation state of the Jewish people. Mind you, Israel is a free country. You can oppose this law, and people did. You can call for different wording in this or that clause, or you can call to add or subtract a clause. You can do that. But when Israel is called racist, Israel is called racist for making Hebrew its official language, and the Star of David its national flag. When Israel is labeled an apartheid state for declaring itself the nation state of the Jewish people, this is downright preposterous. And you know why? Because represented in this hall today are more than 100 countries that have only one official language, even though many other languages are commonly spoken within those countries. There are more than 50 countries here that have crosses or crescents on their flags, even though many have non-Muslims and non-Christians, many of them living in their midst. And there are dozens of countries that define themselves as nation states of a particular people, even though there are many ethnic and national minorities within their borders. None of these countries are denigrated or libeled for celebrating their unique national identity. Only Israel is denigrated. Only Israel is libeled. What is unique about the Jewish people is not that we have a nation state. What is unique is that many still oppose us having a nation state. Moments ago, President Abbas outrageously said that Israel's nation state law proves that Israel is a racist apartheid state. President Abbas, you should know better. You wrote a dissertation denying the Holocaust. Your Palestinian Authority imposes death sentences on Palestinians for selling land to Jews. Did you hear that? If a Jew buys an apartment, a piece of land, anywhere in the Palestinian territories, the Palestinian who sold them that land is executed. That's what the law says. President Abbas, you proudly pay Palestinian terrorists who murder Jews. In fact, the more they slay, the more you pay. That's in their law too. And you condemn Israel's morality? You call Israel racist? This is not the way to peace. This is not the way to achieve the peace we all want and need, and to which Israel remains committed. This body should not be applauding the head of a regime that pays terrorists. The UN should condemn such a despicable policy. And the UN the UN, which brokered a ceasefire in 2014, should demand that Hamas release our fallen soldiers, Oron Shaul and Hadar Golden, who was kidnapped when Hamas violated that very ceasefire. Hamas should also release the two Israeli citizens it holds captive, Abera Mengistu and Hisham al-Sayed. Ladies and gentlemen, every time I stand here, I feel as I do today. I am privileged to stand here as the Prime Minister of the Jewish and Democratic State of Israel. Some believe that Israel cannot be both Jewish and democratic. This is false. Israel is both, and Israel will always remain both. Ever since Abraham and Sarah made their journey to the Promised Land nearly 4,000 years ago, the land of Israel has been our homeland. It's the place where Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob, Leah, and Rachel carried on their eternal covenant with God. It is where Joshua made us a sovereign nation, where David ruled and Isaiah preached, where the Maccabees fought, and where Masada fell. It's the place from which we were exiled and to which we returned, rebuilding our ancient and eternal capital, Jerusalem.
Just think about that. For anybody that's this Jewish or Christian, you're going like, that's my history.
That's right.
I mean, these are things that we study, we talk about, we teach about, you know, Rebecca, the whole crew, you know. It's just awesome to see that.
It's beautiful.
You know, as a matter of fact, when you see, you read it in Romans chapter 3, I believe it is, he talks about, or 2, where, you know, Abraham is the father of faith, and you'll be welcomed into the bosom of Abraham. This is our whole family.
4, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, 4, yes. And it's like, wow, he's the father of faith, and here we are together, and it's a land, and it's just shouting, is like, God exists, God created everything, he created the universe. You know, Hebrews 11:1 says, in Hebrews chapter 11, he says, you have to first believe that God exists, and he created the universe. I mean, this is all of his creation, and he's shouting thousands and thousands of years to at the United Nations of the world are gathered together, and you're hearing the word of God talked about and the history of God and the history of what God has done. It's just exciting to see this. You know, we gotta call, we're gonna go time of prayer, but listen, pray for the peace of Israel, pray for the protection of Israel, support Israel in any way that you can. There's so many different ways
visit
to talk about
Israel. I've been to Israel, you've been to Israel, visit Israel if you have the opportunity. It's a trip of a lifetime.
Yes, we'll talk more about that, as a matter of fact, later on, but I want to pray with you right now. Father God, as a matter of fact, comment below. We want to hear from you. Write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. We love hearing from you. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, we just pray protection over Israel. We pray for peace, Father. We pray the end of this nuclear threat in the Middle East, God. We pray that friends of Israel will arise, Father God, and friends of the church, your friends, would arise in the Middle East, Father God. Revival there. And Lord, we ask you here in America, God, that you would end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
But I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for. You know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function. And realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
That's right.
No matter, I mean, there's so many people. I mean, in history, there's, you know, God will give you a gift to be able to prophesy for others, but he won't let you hear for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's God will give somebody a gift of healing, although the healing follows all believers, and they can lay hands on other people and they're healed, but they themselves aren't healed. Because, and we talked about that, the power of God, you can go back and watch that on BFN TV, maybe. I don't know if it's available. But understand that we need each other. And besides, that's how you're going to stay encouraged. You'll stay encouraged when you are around fellow believers who are like-minded, who love Jesus too, mm-hmm. who are talking about what God shared with them, and it's relating to what God shared with you. And as you guys share, it's just encouraging. And life has its ups and life has its downs, its ebb and its flow. And you can't just run to a body and demand something from it when you never were functioning in that body in the first place. Mm. And so many people do that. It's so funny that, you know, people just show up and they say, you know, we were checking around churches that we thought we'd want to be married at, or we wanted to get counseling at. And it's like, who are you?
Exactly.
Oh, don't worry. We'll pay you some money for it. It's like, what? Where did that come from? What happened? What happened with all that? How did the church end up into being something of that nature? Or, you know, all of a sudden this tragedy hits and these strange people show up knocking on a door they never even went through, you know, asking for help and not telling you. They're telling you what their problem is with an individual and their family or their marriage or something, but they've not telling you about themselves how it got to this point.
Right.
And you have to get together today and begin to relate today, serve each other today, let people know your heart today, prove yourself today. And everybody needs to prove their love towards each other in the body of Christ. Because when that day comes, the first thing the devil's going to do is he's going to put doubt in that relationship. He's going to put doubt, and he's going to begin to try to divide you from the very thing that you need. And if you've already built that fabric, you've already interwoven yourself together by the Holy Spirit, and you've carried each other's burdens and fulfilled the law of Christ. You loved each other. You ate together. You blessed each other. You blessed each other's children, and you love each other's children, even on their journeys. And so, when stuff happens, and it does, then you know you have a place that you can go to where everybody knows your name, and it won't be just somebody who's just being nice to you because they're just trying to figure out what meanest thou this because you've knocked on their door. It's everybody's going to wrap around you. That entire body is going to have compassion over your situation, mm-hmm. and they're going to relate to you. And you're not supposed to be at every place, but there's a place that you're called to be. There's a place that you're called to be. And this is what the Word of God says. He says, go to the place that I tell you to go. And there you fully function at that place. And just stand by there for the next orders that he's going to give you. But the whole time you're there, you don't hold nothing back. You're just fully there, fully present, fully functional, you know, fully submitted, fully covered. If anybody needs anything there, I mean, you're like the first person that jumps up and says, how can I help you? The pastor at that particular of that gathering or that church, you know, you're their best friend because you're the one that's going to jump up and you're going to say, this is where God's called me, so I'm here to help you out, whatever you need. And at times, yeah, they're going to minister to you, but there's times when you're going to minister to that pastor by just serving, serving, helping him or her carry that load. And I'm telling you, it just brings such joy to you. That's what we're called to do. I mean, you're missing the joy of the Lord when you're missing the body of Christ. You're missing that wonderful thing of just kicking back with a sister in the Lord, kicking back with a brother in the Lord, loving on children, just spending that time together, you know, once a week maybe, where you just kick back and then you see each other through the week, and you know it's a 24/7 thing, but there's an epi center moment to everybody's week where we have those larger gatherings where we come together and just celebrate God and worship Him and learn the teachings, and dedicating ourselves to the apostolic teachings. And and I just want to encourage you, you know, I want to encourage you that you need to get connected to a church family. You know, begin to look around in your city, begin to pray, you know, and who that would be, and let God lead you.